So let's continue. We want to compare these three levels of equality in the following proposition. So the first assertion is X and Y indistinguishable. That implies X and Y are modifications of each other. So the other direction is not true in general. And the second assertion is if we have modifications, if there are modifications, then they of course live on the same probability space, but that doesn't hurt. It's possible also for finite dimensional distributions. So X and Y have the same finite dimensional distribution. I have no space. I need to continue on the next slide. So also this direction is not true in general. But I cannot just write it in that way because having the same finite dimensional distributions. So if, okay, there are examples where, so we can say this direction in the sense there exists examples where X and Y are on the same probability space. And have the same finite dimensional distributions. But not modifications of each other. So I have to express this so complicated because in the definition here of finite dimensional distributions, we said that we can have one process in one probability space and the other on the other one, but this we cannot assume for modifications because we have to have them on the same space. So that's why we have to make a bit of a complicated formulation. Okay. So how can we prove the assertions? So the first thing we want to show is that indistinguishability implies the same modification. Okay. Yeah. So as I said already, the probability that XS is equal to YS all S in I, that you can understand as the intersection of XS of omega is equal to YS of omega, and S is in I. And also here one needs to check if this is in the sigma algebra, but just in case it is, then you can, of course, this intersection you can increase by just taking one of the sets. The probability, I mean, you can increase, not the intersection. Okay. And that is nothing else than xt is equal to yt. And this inequality holds, of course, for all t. So I can choose which one I take here instead of the intersection, which single one I choose. Okay, that's easy to see. What about the other direction? We construct a counterexample. So one would be that we take a positive half line minus time interval, and then we choose, so take and choose a random variable S going from omega to R with the following property that S, okay, that we can try shorter. So we want to have a more negative one. S goes from onto the positive half line, and the probability that S is equal to a certain value is equal to zero for all t greater or equal to zero. So do such random variable exist? Do you have an example? So probably you know that if it would be a Gaussian random variable, then the probability that the Gaussian random variable is a certain value is equal to zero, but the Gaussian random variable is not good here because Gaussian random variables have positive and negative numbers. So what can we do? Choose else. What about exponential distribution? So the probability that S is less or equal to T would then be That's why that happens into So I probably need 1 over lambda here. So 1 over lambda integral from 0 to t e to the minus lambda s ds. I guess that was exponential distribution. And the lambda is just some constant, which is positive. So, and for this one, you can easily see that it has this property because it is a continuous variable, it has a continuous distribution function. Okay, now we define our random process. We take xt of omega to be 0 for t and omega, and yt of omega we define to be 0 if t t is not equal to s of omega, and it is 1 if t is equal to s of omega. Well, we can write this in a shorter way. We can write the indicator function of s of omega is equal to t for this y. Then clearly, this is a random variable, so y t is a random variable. That the probability that xt is equal to yt. So xt we assume that to we assume to be 0 even for all t, but we only need it for we need it for 1 t in a moment. So xt is 0, so that means that we have 0 is equal to yt. And when does yt to be 0? Yt is 0 if t is not equal to s of t. Okay, yt is 0, we can write as the probability that s of omega. What did I say? T is equal to s of t. That's nonsense. T is not equal to s of omega. So s is not equal to t. Yeah, and that is by assumption the opposite probability of that one, which is then 1. So that is 1 minus the probability that s is equal to t, that's 1. Okay, so we have modifications. So what do we want to show? We want to show that x and y are modifications, but they are not indistinguishable. Okay, so we have to check x and y as we define it, indistinguishable. So that means that x and y are modifications. So what do we need to check? We need to check that what happens with the set of all omega such that xt of omega is equal to yt of omega of all t. Yeah, well, and we know what xt is. Xt is everywhere 0, so that would be the set of omega such that yt of omega is equal to 0 for t. So which omega do we have where the path of y is 0 for t? Do we have any? Probably not, because this xt of omega is at one point always s of omega. So that means that we don't have such an omega where the y is everywhere zero, because at one point it is always one. So that's the empty set. So the empty set is fortunately measurable. That means that the probability is of this one is zero. Sorry to do something here. Okay. Try to quit my Skype, but it doesn't want to be quit. Good. So we can have situations where we have modifications, but the processes are not indistinguishable. So that's the proof of one. What can we say about the relation between modifications and finite dimensional distributions? So we consider the set where xt is not equal to yt. So if you have modifications, then this set has probability zero if x and y are modifications. Okay, and then we can start. We take a vector xt1 up to xtn on the set V. And that we can write also as xt1 up to xtn in V. Now here I have the push forward, the image measure, but I can write it as on the same, on the probability space. So I'm assuming that this vector is in V. And since this has probability zero, I can take away from this set the union of nt1 up to ntn. These are the exception sets where these processes x and y are not zero. So if I take this set away, then on the remaining set, xt is equal to yt and so on. So I can replace the x by the y. Yeah, and why can I put or take this set in the first place? Because this is a set of probability zero, so I can consider this probability or the probability of this set, and now of course I can take away a set of probability zero, and I don't change the quality. Okay. And then I can again leave off this set of probabilities. You will not take it away, and then we would have. This image measure of the vector y on the set B. Okay, so that's very easy. What about the counter example? So we choose the probability space 0, 1, the Borel sets, and the back measure. And then we take the random variables which do not vary in time. So xt is equal to x0 whole t, and yt is equal to y0 whole t. And what is x0? X0 is the identical map, and y0 is the map 1 minus omega. Okay, let's recall a little bit probability one course. So if I take the Lebesgue measure, then I have uniform distribution. If I take an identical map, what kind of distribution do I have? What kind of distribution does X have? Not I have, but X has. Still trying. Let's hope I was able to quit Skype. Good. So that has uniform distribution. Because this is the identical map. How can we see that? So we compute the probability that x0 is less or equal to x, little x. That is the Lebesgue measure, which is our probability measure of all omega in omega, which is 0, 1, such that x0 of omega is less or equal to x, but that is just omega by assumption. So in other words, this set it's just all omegas which are less or equal to x. So this is the Lebesgue measure of 0x, which is x. Now, what is the distribution of y0? We can do the same. So that's the set of all omega such that y0 of omega is less or equal to x. And this one is 1 minus omega is less or equal to x. And if I turn this around, I get that 1 minus x is less or equal to omega. And omega is between 0 and 1. On one hand, and on the other hand, it must be greater than 1 minus x. So that is lambda of 1 minus x, 1, which is 1 minus x, and that is x as well. Okay, so they have the same distribution. And since Since we say that for each T, they have the same distribution, they have the same finite dimensional distributions. So xt1 up to xtn, everything is distributed like x0. So that's easy. So they have the same one-dimensional distribution, you could also say. But they are, of course, not modifications. So there would be the Lebesgue measure of xt is equal to yt, which is x0 is equal to y0 as we defined it. And that would be the Lebesgue measure of all omega such that omega is equal to 1 minus omega. And actually, there's only one value, namely omega equals 1/2, which is satisfying this equation. So we would have Lebesgue measure of 1/2, which is of course zero. So there are no modifications. Okay, that's the proof. And that is the end of this equality business, and we continue. We make a big jump in the lecture notes because the measurability which comes in the lecture notes we don't need in the moment. We do it when we need it. In the moment it would not be fun. So let's continue. And I want to close this section with a way of saying. So I'm talking about continuous processes and so on. So, and what do I mean by that? So yeah, that was the end, and maybe we should make a little comment that we do something new. So what does it mean? The process is continuous. And so on. There are some other concepts. So that's of course just one definition. Not more. And that is definition two. One, 13. Let xt, xt, t in I, be a stochastic process. So what was that? That was just a short way of saying that I have this indexed objects and each xt is a random value, nothing more. Mm-hmm. We're coming to the end. The laptop is playing with me. So the first thing is x is continuous, continuous if the path if each path is continuous. In the moment, this is okay. It might be that at some point I'm not sticking to this definition and permit continuous paths almost truly, but here in the moment, we say the process is continuous if you know that for all omega, it has continuous paths. Okay, the more interesting part is the next X is Catlac. That comes from French because the French mathematicians made maybe the most contributions in the last century to stochastic analysis, and they introduced this abbreviation continu à droite. And limité. No. À gauche. Meaning continuous from the right and limits at left. So if this process is height continuous, and as left limits. All omega. So right continuous and left limits, maybe we should just draw an example. So you probably know such processes, namely the Poisson process as it is defined in insurance or risk theory is such a process. And how does it look like? So for example, it starts in zero and goes on until a certain time where it jumps to one. And this continues like that. And the understanding is that at the jump time, so it's that value and this is an open interval. So it has left limits and it is right continuous. So that would be the Poisson process. Okay, what next? Yeah, the opposite. I mean, you can also think of processes which have the limits from the left and are which are continuous from the left and have limits from the right. And that is the other name. Here just the G and the D of are interchanged. Continue à gauche. Limité à droite. There's also an English abbreviation, and the funny thing is that the French books now use the English abbreviation. Okay. So if it is left continuous, so continuous if you come from the left, from the lower path, and has right hand limits. Omega. Okay, so we still have a little bit of time, so I would then start with the next section, subsection. So far we have only talked about the equal processes and continuous and Catlack and whatever, and now we want to see eventually our first process. So we start with basic examples. Or stochastic So the first example is going to be the plan in motion. Which is also called Wiener process in some books. And what is this guy? So there's a history about this creature. Namely, there was a biologist, I think, named Robert Brown. And he was simply looking into his microscope and he noticed as he was watching pollen in water. Under the microscope, that this pollen from the flowers, this stuff was having very erratic movements. So it was such a little objects, and he could see them moving around in strange behavior. And it was in that time, it was not clear, is this pollen, is this a living stuff which can move, or how, why does it move? And only later on, it was in 1905, it was Albert Einstein who had the explanation that the pollen actually is not a living creature, but it is moved. It doesn't move by itself, it is moved. And why is it moved? Who is moving this pollen in water? The water is moving the pollen because the water molecules, they are always they're in constant movement, and sometimes they crash into a pollen and the pollen starts moving because it gets a push, and then the next molecule is pushing the pollen in a different direction, and that's what it happens. And actually this was Einstein's explanation that the water molecules, so the water consists of moving molecules. So for him, it was kind of a proof or a reasonable thing to understand it in that way. Okay. So that is the thing which was watched. And what we are studying is a mathematical model. And the mathematical model was first considered by Norbert Wiener. That's why it's called also sometimes Wiener process. And that was still later. It was in 1921. So he tried to find a model for this movement, not so much for the pollen of Mr. Brown, but rather for well, finance stuff and so on. And actually, yeah, there was also, so Wiener proved probably the existence in some sense, and Bachelier used the Brownian motion as a model in finance. That was already 1900. So Wiener gave the mathematical proof, and Bachelier used, without proving the existence, maybe used Brownian motion. used a Panya motion model for share prices. Okay. And yeah, in one dimensional case, so if you see this erratic movement, so this is exactly how share prices move. So you had a point to do it like that. And in some sense, it is done until now. Okay. So Brownian motion is important. So let's give the definition. So we will write it as a proposition. So meaning that we state its properties and its existence. So there exists a probability space omega FP. And a process B, BT, T greater equal to 0, with B 0 is identically 0, so I make three lines to say that this holds for all omega. Such that B is continuous . The second assumption is that it has independent increments, so here we use the following definition for all times. I'm going to be a bit more precise. All n 1, 2. So I emphasize that the n is also running. And we have such time points S1, S2, increasing up to Sn, less or equal to S, and less or equal to T, and that is less or equal to infinity, okay? So the random variable Bt minus Bs is independent from the vector Bs1 up to Bsn. So that is the property of independent increments. It can be written down in different versions. This is one of them. Okay. So why is Bt minus Bs a random variable? So what do we have? We have a stochastic process. This was not said, but that's assumed. So Bt is a stochastic process. And then if I take a Bt and Bs, which are two random variables, then the difference, of course, is also a random variable, right? Nothing to prove. We know this from probability one. Okay, the last property is that of stationary increments. What does it mean? For all time points s less than t, one has that bt minus bs is normally distributed with expectation 0 and variance t minus s. And that can be interpreted as stationary increments. Also, this has sometimes a different shape, this assertion, but it means the same. Okay, so I guess you know this, right? This is normal distribution. Expectation 0. And variance t minus s. Okay, so I think we slowly come to the end of the first lecture. Maybe I should finish with the definition. So we have now stated there exists a process, a stochastic process, which has these three properties. And actually there exists a probability space, and on that there exists a process. So why do we emphasize that we cannot choose an arbitrary probability space? That is because we have all this independence and distribution to realize. So if the omega is too small and the sigma algebra is too small, we might not be able to construct a process with these properties on that. So I think in the probability one course, sometimes I'm giving an exercise to see that you have trouble to find, let's say, five independent random variables if I give you a finite space which is too small. So this goes in that direction. So you have to have a big enough space to be able to construct independent random variables in that amount. So definition, not three, but two. A process with the properties of proposition 2, 2, 1 is called standard Barney motion. And I will simply say Brownian motion, and I'm always going to mean this one if I don't say anything else. So the official name is standard Brownian motion. Okay, so we will continue in the next lecture with other processes. That's all for today. So see you in the next lecture, and goodbye.